Voice of Indonesia.
Ce retard, il est temps pour moi de terminer cette émission d'une heure d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel boilistenes@gmail.com. Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. Germany invites President Prabowo for Berlin state visit. House of Representatives discusses 2026 state budget bill. I'm Yunika and this is the news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has been formally invited by German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier for an official state visit to Berlin, signaling a commitment to deepen ties between the two nations. The visit, scheduled for the second half of this year, was confirmed following a high-level meeting between the country's foreign ministers in Jakarta on Wednesday. Desi Anugranov has the details.
The Indonesian government has welcomed an official invitation from German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier for President Prabowo Subianto to conduct a state visit to Berlin this year. The invitation was announced following a meeting between Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono and German Federal Foreign Minister Johan Wadopul in Jakarta on Wednesday. Minister Sugiono emphasized that the invitation represents a special recognition of the close partnership between the two countries.
Dan dalam pertemuan, kami juga menyambut baik dan berterima kasih atas undangan.
In our meeting, we also welcome and express our gratitude for the invitation from the German President to President Prabowo Subianto to undertake a state visit to Berlin, which is expected to take place in the second half of this year. We consider this invitation a form of special recognition that reflects the strong partnership between our two countries.
Yang mencerminkan eratnya kemitraan kedua negara.
Sugiono added that Germany is a comprehensive and strategic partner for Indonesia in Europe. President Prabowo's visit to Berlin is expected to further strengthen future bilateral cooperation. On the same occasion, German Foreign Minister Johann Wadephul stated that the meeting would also address development in the global situation, including regional issues. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
The House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia has officially begun deliberations on the 2026 draft state budget bill. More details from Raditya Arif.
The Indonesian House of Representatives held a second plenary meeting of the 2025-2026 session at the Parliamentary Complex in Jakarta on Tuesday, August 19th. The meeting was led by Deputy Speaker of the House, Adis Kadir, and attended by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and National Development Planning Minister Rahmat Pambudi. The plenary meeting discussed the presentation of general views from all factions within the Parliament regarding the draft law on the state revenue and expenditure budget, along with a financial note.
As we know, the government delivered a statement on the draft bill for the 2026 fiscal year state budget, along with its financial note at the plenary meeting on August 15, 2025, in accordance with the provisions of Article 168, paragraph 2 of the Parliament's Rules of Procedure, which states that factions are given the opportunity to present their general views at the Parliament's plenary meeting on the draft state budget bill and its financial note.
After listening to the general views from all factions in the Parliament, the Indonesian government is scheduled to provide its response next week.
The government's response to the general views of the factions of the draft bill for the 2026 fiscal year state budget and its financial note will be delivered at the Parliament's plenary meeting on Tuesday, August 26, 2025.
This 2026 state budget bill is the first of President Prabowo Subianto's administration, with its mission to realize a sovereign, independent, and prosperous Indonesia. Quoted from an official statement by the Minister of Finance, the government expressed its appreciation for the support and constructive input from all factions. The government emphasized that synergy with the Parliament is crucial to ensure the state budget can be a healthy and credible fiscal instrument, responsive to the nation's development challenges and opportunities.
Indonesia has taken a major step forward in its mission to protect its natural heritage. The government has officially launched a comprehensive scientific report detailing the immense biodiversity of Sumatra and Sulawesi. This new publication is a cornerstone of the national strategy to build integrated data, crucial for global conservation efforts. Hasna Nur Afifah has the details.
The Ministry of National Development Planning, PPN, the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, officially launched the book Current Status of Indonesia's Biodiversity, Sumatra Ecoregion and Sulawesi Ecoregion in Jakarta on Tuesday. This publication is a scientific report on the wealth of biodiversity found on two islands in Indonesia. In his speech, the Minister of National Development Planning and Head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, Rahmat Pambudi, stated that Indonesia has a strong commitment to biodiversity conservation as outlined in the Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan 2025-2045. According to him, the launch of the current status of Indonesia's biodiversity, Sumatra ecoregion and Sulawesi ecoregion, is part of that action plan to build comprehensive integrated biodiversity data.
We hope the launch of the document we are conducting today is an important initial step towards building comprehensive integrated biodiversity data.
The launch of the current status of Indonesia's biodiversity, Sumatra ecoregion and Sulawesi ecoregion is the result of collaboration between all relevant parties, from ministries to international partners. Hans-Ludwig Brandt, Country Director of the German Agency for International Cooperation, GIZ, Indonesia and ASEAN, confided the commitment of the German government through the Federal Ministry of Environment, Climate Change and Nature Protection in supporting biodiversity management in Indonesia.
Recognizing this importance, GIZ Indonesia, on behalf of the German Federal Ministry of Environment, Climate Change and Nature Protection, has long supported Indonesia in advancing biodiversity management, and let me also say that we'll continue with that.
The Ministry of National Development Planning, PPN, the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, noted Indonesia's strategy position on the global stage. With 22 types of natural ecosystems, more than 31,000 flora species, 81,000 terrestrial fauna, and 7,000 marine fauna, Indonesia is also home to 18% of world coral reefs and up to 24% of world mangrove forest. The previously launched Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan 2025 to 2045 has been aligned with global commitments through the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. According to Rahmat Pambudi, this action plan has three main objectives: to conserve ecosystems, to utilize biodiversity sustainably, and to implement the plan with appropriate mechanisms. Hasnanur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
To mark World Patient Safety Day, the Indonesian government has announced a new pilot project in West Java aimed at significantly reducing the nation's infant mortality rate. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin detailed the initiative, which will focus on improving data registration, hospital governance, and referral processes in Garut Regency, Bogor, and Bandung, with plans to replicate the successful model across the country. Isan Syaputra has the details.
To commemorate the World Patient Safety Day, which falls on September 17th, the Indonesian government held a series of commemorative events starting Tuesday, August 19th, in Jakarta. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin stated in his address that the Indonesian government will soon launch a pilot project in West Java province in an effort to reduce the infant mortality rate in Indonesia. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Health, has designated Garut Regency, Bogor, and Bandung as pilot projects to reduce infant mortality during childbirth. According to Budi Gunadi, this pilot project includes efforts to improve data management and hospital governance.
Jadi nomor satu itu tadi ya, registrasinya masih bagus. Nomor dua.
So number one, registration must be good. Number two, hospital governance must be good. Number three, the referral process must be streamlined so that each case can be handled optimally. And number four, we want this pilot project to be operational and quickly replicated throughout Indonesia.
Ini bisa jalan dan segera direplikasi ke seluruh Indonesia.
On the same occasion, the WHO representative for Indonesia, Roderick Salenga, conveyed that Indonesia has achieved success in efforts to reduce maternal and child mortality during childbirth. However, he emphasized WHO's commitment to continue working with the Indonesian government and all related parties to ensure equitable access to health service for infants can be continuously implemented.
On this, Indonesia has achieved strong progress. Between 2000 and 2023, maternal mortality already dropped by more than half. Neonatal deaths fell by 56%, stillbirths by almost half, and under 5 deaths by 62%. Tremendous progress indeed.
World Patient Safety Day held every September 17th to raise global awareness of the importance of patient safety. This year's theme is Safe Care for Every Newborn and Every Child, which emphasized the shared commitment to protect mothers and children from the risk of unsafe healthcare. Isan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
The letters of Indonesian national heroine Raden Ajeng Kartini have been officially recognized by UNESCO Memories of the World Program. This prestigious designation, announced in April 2025, confirms the enduring global significance of her writings on gender equality, education, and social reform. Kiki Novitasari has the details.
The letter and archive of Raden Ajeng Kartini has been officially designated by UNESCO as a memory of the world. The designation was announced by UNESCO on April 17, 2025, along with 73 other documentary heritage collections from around the world. At the National Seminar and Exhibition, Kartini's World, A Perspective and Legacy on Equality in Jakarta on Tuesday. The Minister of Culture, Padli John, stated that this UNESCO recognition is proof that the work acknowledged Kartini's intellectual contribution to global civilization.
Jadi dengan dimasukkannya surat-surat Kartini,
so, the inclusion of Kartini's letters into the memory of the world signifies that the world recognized the intellectual heritage of Indonesia's contributions of thought to the development of global civilization, and specifically regarding Kartini's intellectual legacy, we can also be proud that the perspective and spirit of Indonesian women towards education, emancipation, equality, as well as their contribution of thought to nationhood, have become a shared memory of the global community.
Meanwhile, the ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands to Indonesia, Timor Leste and ASEAN, Mark Gritsen, state the Kartini's letter carry a universal message about the importance of women and education.
And her letters hold a universal message, a message of the importance of women and education as a key to empowerment. Her letters revealed her progressive views on gender equality, emancipation, and social reforms, and her views still resonate today around the world.
The letter and archive of Raden Ajeng Kartini on the struggle for gender equality were jointly nominated by Indonesia and the Netherlands for UNESCO recognition in the memory of the world. This letter and archive are currently preserved in both countries, established by UNESCO in 1992. This program aims to promote the preservation of an universal access to humanity's documentary heritage. Kiki Novita, Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian has shown his full support behind the acceleration of the government's program to build 3 million houses for low-income communities. The minister underscored the critical role of his ministry in ensuring the program's success at the regional level. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian on Thursday emphasized the full support of the Ministry of Home Affairs for the president's priority program of building 3 million houses for low-income communities. At a seminar in Jakarta, Tito Karnavian explained that the Ministry of Home Affairs has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, with the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing and the Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, to ensure this program can be felt by the people.
Kemudian juga program misalnya
and also, for example, the program for 3 million people's houses, we have already made an MOU with 3 ministers, 2 other ministers, to examine BPHTB, property acquisition fee for low-income communities.
Furthermore, Tito also reminded his staff to ensure the sustainability of the government programs down to the regional level.
Dan ini peran Kemendagri menjadi sangat-sangat penting. Hampir di semua.
And in this, the role of the Ministry of Home Affairs becomes very, very important in almost all, of these programs. Why? Because the Ministry of Home Affairs, especially in its role as the supervisor and overseer in regional governments, because all of these programs are certainly related to regional governments.
The 3 million houses program is a program to provide decent housing for low-income and poor communities. This program aims to address housing needs and improve the quality of life of the people through the provision of affordable housing. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
The National Disaster Management Agency confirms the death toll from Sunday's 6.0 magnitude quake in Poso has risen to 2. Both victims were tragically killed while attending a church service when the tremor struck. Rama Sitki Pratama has the details.
The death toll from the 6.0 magnitude earthquake that struck Poso Regency, Central Sulawesi on Sunday, August 17th, has risen to 2. This is an increase from the initial report of just 1 fatality. During a visit to Poso on Tuesday, August 19th, the head of the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, Suharyanto, stated that both victims were members of a church attending a morning service. As of today, 2 people have died. Approximately 2 to 4 others suffered severe and minor injuries. These injuries occurred because they were attending a service when the quake hit. While others managed to take over under tables and chairs, the victims could not escape in time and were struck by falling debris from the building. Suharyanto also reported that 9 people sustained serious injuries, while 32 suffered minor injuries. Additionally, dozens of houses were damaged, affecting 184 families. He added that as of Tuesday, aftershocks were still occurring, so with lower intensity. Today is the third day since the earthquake, and there have already been 78 aftershocks. However, none have registered above magnitude 4, most are magnitude 3 or lower. It should now be safe for residents to return to their homes, but we are communicating this to the community gradually. Based on the assessment team's explanation, we are confident that residents will soon be able to return home, especially those whose houses are still in good condition. Region of Poso, Verna in Kiriwang, has declared a two-week state of emergency. Meanwhile, the National Disaster Management Agency stated that it continues to coordinate with its local counterpart to accelerate the emergency response and restoring normal community conditions. The central government has also committed to repairing damaged schools and places of worship. Ramasitki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, it concludes today's new bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world. Now, today's commentary.
Terlanjur abadi, semua yang telah lalu takkan menggontai pilu. Semua tak terlupa, telah terukir nyata, takkan pernah tergulung untuk menepis bayangmu. Tak berdaya bila harus meninggalkanmu abadi, takkan pernah tergumam untuk menepis bayangmu. Tak berdaya apabila harus meninggalkanmu selalu. Selagi merindu tak senada firmanmu seraya selamat.
going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolaten Village, Singojuru Sub District. The Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking Geseng Bangsong. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fredela. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me, so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia
to the world.
Then you hear a man is moving back to Colorado. It's 2013 and the end of my life. Freshman year's about to plummet just a little harder, but it didn't, cause we kissed on that Halloween night. I bleached half my hair when I saw Zoe on your vest, but it's orange from 3% peroxide thanks to you. I needed a good cry, I headed right to Kendra's. I hated you and I hoped to God that you knew. Now there's drama, found a club for that where I met ya. Had a heart attack, yada yada. At the end, yeah, we burned, made a couple U-turns. You were it till you weren't. High school in Jakarta, sort of modern Sparta. Had no chance against the teenage suburban armadas. We were a sonata, thanks to Tyler Fathers. Yeah, living under that was hard, but I loved it harder. High school in Jakarta, an elaborate saga. I still hate you for making me wish I came as smarter. You love hate your mother, so do I. Could've ended different then again. We went to high school in Jakarta. Got a group assignment, I'll be in Val's place. You don't text at all and only call when you're off your face. I'm petty and say call me when you're not unstable. I lie and tell you I'll be getting drunk every chance. I wasn't, she doesn't even drink, but I couldn't have you sit there and think that you're better. Cause you're older, are you better now that we're older? Moving to New York, probably sometime in August. And I'm spending the summer in Singapore. I'm so sad I can't tell you shit anymore. I made friends with Abby this year. We're moving in March or so. And although you bring me to tears, I'm glad that we gave it a go.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Every region in Indonesia must have special foods that characterize the area. So must Manggarai. It has a variety of culinary heritage. One of the most popular souvenirs from Manggarai for us is Kompiang Cake. Kompiang cake is also known as Kompiang Longa. This typical cake of Flores looks like round or oval and has a brownish color topped with sesame seeds. The word longa in the Manggarai Flores language means sesame. That is why this cake is called Kompiang Longa. This
listeners, Gongbiang, which is an adaptation of mainland China, was initially only served at family events. But now this cake has become more famous and has become Florence typical souvenir. Gongbiang is appropriate to enjoy for breakfast and a cup of hot coffee. You can easily find it in traditional markets, Florence typical souvenir centers, and even in roadside coffee shops. Gongbiang is almost the same size as a tennis ball. Gongbiang can last for 3 days at room temperature and even 1 week when it is stored in the refrigerator. For each portion, Gongbiang costs 1,000 rupiahs.
Poverty and inequality, they are universal. They undermine every society, everywhere. But poverty is not natural. It is man-made, so poverty is not inevitable. It is an area where the world has made huge progress in the past few decades. Just 30 years ago, there were 1.9 billion people living in extreme poverty, but that number has been transformed. In 2015, it fell to 734 million. That's over a billion people lifted out of poverty.
A billion people out of poverty is amazing.
Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
It was across the world we lifted people out of poverty. Across the world, more kids got into education. It was across the world, maternal mortality was reduced. Across the world today, not many people will be left without access to a mobile phone. And what that has done to empower them to access education, to a livelihood, is huge.
But still, almost 10% of the human race are living unbelievably harsh lives. This is largely determined by their circumstances at birth, and these high levels of inequalities work against better opportunities for all. Opportunities that could change the world.
The world is filled with inequality. While we are all floating on the same sea, we are not in the same boat. It's clear that some are in super yachts, while others are clinging to drifting debris.
Professor Sugarta Mitra is the brains behind what has become known as the hole-in-the-wall experiment.
I want to tell you a story about 1999. I used to teach people how to write computer programs. And I had a very, you know, plush office and everything. And just outside of these offices, there was this large, sprawling urban slum full of children. Now, those children, they had never seen a computer before. They didn't know what the internet was, and they didn't know any English. But I had a sneaky kind of suspicion that there was a special relationship between children and computers that perhaps we were not aware of. So one day I tried an experiment. I made an opening in the boundary wall that separated my offices from the slum. And then I fixed a computer into the boundary wall so that from the other side of the wall, you could see the computer and a touchpad. And on the first day, we saw this 8-year-old boy teaching a 6-year-old girl how to surf. Now, how on earth did he figure that out? How did he know what the computer was doing 3 months after I had first put their computer in the wall? Children said they wanted a faster processor and a better mouse. I asked them, how on earth do you know these words? Where did you learn this from? And they said, well, you've left a machine here that speaks only in English, so we had no option but to learn the language. Easy, isn't it? I repeated the hole-in-the-wall experiment for 5 years across the length and breadth of India. We have an enormous potential of what children can achieve together if we let them.
There is potential everywhere. We just have to unlock it.
Actor and UNDP Goodwill Ambassador Michelle Yeoh.
A huge amount depends on where public money is spent. More of it must urgently go into health, into giving everyone a safety net. There is a revolution that is happening in education. Global digital literacy, connecting every school, every person to the internet. This can be done. The recovery from COVID must lead to an economy that works for everyone. Let's start with tax. We have widespread tax concessions, tax avoidance, and tax evasion, which means that there's so much less money for all the crucial things: health, education, social protection, green jobs. Many developing countries are weighed down by historical debts, spending more money on debt repayments than they are spending on healthcare and improving their own people's lives. And then there's the importance of global investment in peace. More and more, the poorest countries in the world are those countries where conflicts and violence tear apart people's lives and chances. The peace dividend for the world is immeasurable.
That's why, in March, the UN Secretary General called for a global ceasefire.
And we must break the vicious cycle of corruption and increase the power of the people to keep check on the people in power. A strong civil society, a free, independent media, and responsible social media platforms that encourage healthy debate. Equality unleashes the potential of everyone to improve their own lives and contribute to the lives of everyone else.
Ketika kamu dalam satu cinta yang baru, saja satu ku coba untuk mengenalmu, membaca kamu.
Oh, lamakah kita bertahan? Setiap tingkah ku membuatmu bertanya padaku.
Apakah kamu benar-benar sayang aku?
Tentu saja ku benar sayang kamu.
Buktikan, coba buktikan pada
hati ini, cinta ini hanya butuh, hanya ingin dirimu. Dirimu selamanya.
Buktikan,
coba buktikan kepada
aku. Namun minggu telah berlalu,
masih
saja ku tunggu dirimu dari dugaan.
Sekarang
murungku,
salahkah aku
yang selalu meragukan cintamu?
Lamakah kita bertahan? Setiap tingkah ku membuatmu bertanya padaku.
Apakah kamu benar-benar sayang aku?
Tentu saja ku benar sayang kamu.
Buktikan, coba buktikan pada
hati ini, cinta ini hanya butuh, hanya ingin dirimu. Dirimu selamanya.
Buktikan,
coba buktikan kepada aku. Ku akan membuktikan,
ku akan menyaksikan.
Terhayalah kepercayaan
ingin diri.
Jakarta, apart from being famous for its student city, is also famous for its culinary paradise. For you as foreign tourists, if you plan to spend your holidays in Jogja to enjoy natural beauty in various tourist objects, you must also try this popular culinary, namely Sate Klatak, as one of the unique culinary delights from Yogyakarta. Sate Klatak is a lamb satay dish originating from Pleret sub-district in Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta. This satay is quite different from other satays because the main seasoning is only salt and pepper, while other satays use soy sauce or peanut sauce as the main seasoning. Because the main seasoning of this satay uses more salt, some people call it satay uyah, which means salt satay. The satay sticks are not made of bamboo, but from iron bars. The skewers from these iron bars serve as a heating conductor that will make the meat quite cooked inside. Satay klatak is usually served with curry. Although the main seasoning of the satay klatak only uses salt, it can create a savory taste and the lamb is very tender. At the time of serving, one serving of satay klatak contains two skewers. You can add it with curry sauce, which adds to the deliciousness of this satay. For one serving of satay klatak, complete with curry soup, a plate of white rice, and also a glass of hot fresh tea, you only need to pay 20,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, right?
Kini ku belum bisa. Indonesia.
Alhamdulillah setelah kejadian sekarang bahkan
Alhamdulillah after disaster people surrounding Galunggung can feel the result of their agriculture from their own natural resources.
Daya alamnya itu
so it is better for blessing and bagus, more beneficial and also the economic standard of society is also better.
Lebih baik.
That was Saifullah testimony, head of Sukajadi Village, Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency, West Java Province. Sukajadi Village is one of the villages which was directly affected by Mount Galunggung eruption. Eruption of volcano, which is 2,167 meters above the sea level, was very phenomenal in 1982. In the history, Mount Galunggung erupted in 1982. The last eruption has type volcanic vertical, like mushroom clouds of atomic bomb, reaching 20 kilometers to the sky, and was followed by pyroclastic burst of the fine dust which shower Bandung, Tasikmalaya, Garut, Cianjur, and another city in radius 100 kilometers. The negative impact of the eruption was felt by most people surrounding Mount Galunggung. They suffered due to the eruption for more than 1 year.
Tasik Utara lah khususnya itu sangat berdampak negatif.
North Tasikmalaya especially has negative impact, even several damage and destruction occurred for 1 year. For 1 year, there were no activities in some regions of the districts, such as Cisayong, Sukaratu, Padakembang, Lewiwisari, Singaparna. From 5 districts of 6 districts, its agricultural lands were collapsed for 1 year. Atang Supriyatna, farmer from Sukajadi Village, Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency, told about tense atmosphere when the eruption happened.
Pertama kelihatan mah malam Senin, jam 11 malam, Minggu malam Senin gitu kan, kelihatan mah ada asap gitu kan. Waktu itu kan
earlier on Monday evening, if I was not mistaken, at 11 p.m. on Sunday evening, there was seen smoke at the time general election would be conducted. I was at command post. I was on guard. I did not know that the mountain would erupt. Firstly, there was drizzle. So, when I was outside, wah, raining.
Debu itu.
When entering the post,
gitu kan.
I looked down and it
pas
was not wet. It was
itu.
Not water,
pos,
otherwise
kan.
Dust.
Ke desa itu.
In the morning at the post, I came to the village, show from the west. Many people over there went down. When he said, the mountain erupted, the mountain erupted. At the time, it was not yet.
Itu mah belum itu, baru ces gitu.
To the team, Saifullah completed the bitter story, which was experienced due to the eruption that kept erupting for 1 year.
Awal meletus itu, letusan pertama itu tidak ada letusan. Hanya mengeluarkan asap itu hari Senin.
When erupting for the first time, Senin, there was no eruption.
Selasa,
only smoke on Monday. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Senin, Selasa, Rabu,
Thursday evening,
Rabu,
the big eruption
besar.
Happened.
Dari Senin, Selasa,
so on Monday,
Rabu,
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, big eruption happened.
Dan mengeluarkan lahar. Belum
but
meletusan.
On Monday,
hanya
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday occurred
getaran,
overflow
getaran,
smoke
getaran.
And lava.
Kalau kita
there was no eruption. There were only thunder and fiber. If we stored water burn, it happened on Monday.